At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Syria, darkness visible more than a decade. Now in the hands of unknown actors, none of whom are elected, one of whom is charismatic to the point of having a nom de guerre when he was Al-Qaeda, when he flirted and was ISIS for a few hours. And since then, he's been the head of an organization we'll call HTS, in Idlib province, brooking no challenge to his authority. A murderous organization, HTS, once it was known as the Nusra Front, then it renamed itself, as a man named Al-Jilani has renamed himself. However, that's the game you play if you wander into Syria. And I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations, because his argument in Washington Examiner is very persuasive that this is an opportunity for the United States, not a defeat. The fact that Syria possesses the Russian forces and a Russian warm water base for Russia for its fleet, and Iran forces, many Iran forces, both their militia and we believe their IRGC, and other bad actors all gathered in Syria, not to forget the Hezbollah. And what is to be done? John, a very good evening to you. Mr. Rubio is the designated Secretary of State, and it looks to be that there are certain foreign officers from other countries traveling to Damascus to meet with Al-Jilani, the nom de guerre of the man in charge, we believe, of HTS. Is that a wise thing for states to recognize HTS, and is the United States in a position under the Trump administration after the 20th to recognize HTS's boss as the legitimate ruler of Syria? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. Well, look, HTS is in charge nominally with Turkish assistance. And we can say, I think, without equivocation, that the overthrow of the Assad regime, really 50 years of a family dictatorship, is a tectonic shift in the Middle East and a huge blow to Iran. It was one of the pillars of Iranian power. Now it's no more. And it's a land route. Iran's land route to supply its terrorist proxy Hezbollah has been cut, which is another body blow to Hezbollah, which Israel is systematically dismantling. The problem is we don't want to replace the Assad regime, a proxy of Iran, with a new terror state, a kind of Afghanistan on the shores of the Mediterranean. And as you indicated in your introduction, HTS has a long lineage, starting with Al-Qaeda as a terrorist group. And, you know, these groups come and go. They change their names. They change their formats. It's not like they have a corporate organizational chart that they follow. So they're kind of fluid. But the history here is unmistakable. And the support from Erdogan's Turkey, very troubling. Syria is a complicated place. We have Kurdish forces there in northeastern Syria, perhaps 2,000 American troops that were instrumental in defeating the ISIS territorial caliphate. We have Druze and Christian minorities in Syria and Alawite minorities from the where the Assad regime drew its strength, very worried about being ruled by Sunni Islamicists. So it's complicated. It's the Middle East, after all. I just think we need to be very careful before we conclude too quickly, like some Europeans appear to be doing, that in fact the terrorists have shed their spots. It's not at all clear to me. I think we've got to be involved because we've got huge equities at stake, as does Israel, as do the Arab states and the Gulf region. But at this point, the evidence is far from certain that HTS really has given up its terrorist heritage.
Russia is in place. Russia is conducting a war in Eurasia and is part of an adversarial group. We know the capitals very well. Pushing Russia out of Syria would be a success. And can that result from engagement or disengagement with HTS? I'm puzzled about the possibilities here, John, and what can be done.
Well, I think the upside of moving Russia out of those naval and air bases you mentioned would be very, very high. And I think that's one of the several tests, in effect, we can give HTS, this terrorist group. Will they push the Russians out? I would take that as a positive sign. Will they open up Syrian government chemical and biological weapons sites and laboratories to international inspection and to our inspectors? Will they commit and really do something palpable to find the American hostages and other hostages that the Assad regime held and help us find them and get them released from whatever captivity they're currently stuck in? These are the kinds of things that if HTS in good faith is abandoning terrorism, that we need to see. There are other pieces of evidence that run to the contrary. New regulations on female education, for example, or I probably should say female non-education, following their radical Islamicist views. The situation is murky. I think this requires some very adept diplomats, for example, to push them on these tests that I've mentioned. And I'd just be very reluctant to give them any legitimacy until we see more than simply their assertions. Not only, as you point out, that their leader changes nom de guerre for what he says is his real name. He took off his combat fatigues, put on a suit, and trimmed his beard. So, of course, some in the West have swooned already. I'm not ready for that.
I want to use a counterexample, John, to see if it matters, if it's useful here. The Chinese Communist Party, George Marshall, a famous embassy to the Chinese Communist Party, as part of his duties for the Truman administration. At the same time, Stalin was sending emissaries all the time, too. The U.S. got outbid by the Soviets, making Mao, as we know, 45, 46, 47, 48, a lieutenant of the Chinese, of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. He was badly treated by Stalin, and yet he kept the relationship because Russia was pouring weapons. Some of the weapons, of course, we'd given them in the Lend-Lease, but those are the ironies of history. Now, what if the U.S. had bribed Mao? Would he have listened to us? He was a killer. He was a terrorist, as we now define it. So you don't get to choose between good guys and bad guys when you wander into a landscape like Syria. Do we have a choice here, John, that we could make?
Well, I think we do have a choice. And the question is whether we make a credulous, knee-jerk reaction saying, oh, well, they said they've sworn off terrorism. It must be true. Or do we try and condition assistance on performance? I've given some the test, moving the Russians out, the chemical and biological weapons, the hostages. There may be ways to calibrate this. And we do know that American diplomats at lower ranks have been to Damascus. We know as well that our friends, the Gulf Arab states, the ones with the money that can help reconstruct Syria if the government is appropriate, have also been there. So there's a lot of information that's not out in the public domain. And it may be that we would follow the lead of the Gulf Arabs here if they think they can find a trusting relationship with HTS. But we've got our objectives in simply recognizing the new regime to hope they clean things up. I don't think is enough. We need performance, not just aspiration.
You mentioned Turkey, and of course, Turkey is suspect of having driven this whole affair out of the Idlib province. Turkey's a member of NATO. Does that complicate the story, John, about the U.S. charging in here?
Well, Turkey has its own hegemonic aspirations, believe it or not, stretching back to the end of World War I and the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. Turkey specifically has aspirations for much of northern Syria, which they don't think should have gone to Syria when the new boundaries were defined. And Erdogan has demonstrated he has both regional aspirations, but also aspirations for a more prominent place inside Islam. Some even say restoring the Ottoman Caliphate. The fact is, NATO ally or not, this is on Turkey's doorstep. They've got their own interest. They do not necessarily correspond with ours. Specifically, Erdogan looks for any excuse he can to beat up on Kurds, whom he basically considers almost all of them to be terrorists. But we've got Kurdish allies in northeastern Syria who fought right beside us and fought hard to defeat the ISIS territorial caliphate. We should not let them be sacrificed to Erdogan and his aspirations, which really could lead to the breakup of Syria.
One more complication. Israel has occupied, to my understanding, the Golan and up to the DMZ line. And as you mentioned, it's also used the Air Force to destroy what they know of the WMD that's all through the country. But is Israel in a position to be an agent for the United States here to make a deal that Damascus can't refuse?
Well, Israel's certainly a player here. And as we don't want to see a terrorist state, a new terrorist state set up on the shores of the Mediterranean, Israel most certainly does not want to see one on its own borders, nor does Jordan. That's why the Gulf Arabs are particularly interested. So we have a lot of partners here. The stakes are very high, and I think this is going to be complicated diplomacy, a lot of it entirely behind the scenes. We fear not only that all of Syria might fall under HTS, but another dangerous scenario is if the country simply disintegrates into anarchy with no central government. That's what we've been functioning under for a number of years. But if true anarchy developed as it exists in much of Afghanistan, that in itself is a hospitable atmosphere for foreign terrorist fighters to come and seek shelter. And Syria is by definition a lot closer to Europe and therefore the United States than Afghanistan. This is definitely something we have to worry about.
So this would be the new Libya. That's what you're describing.
Right. It would be exactly. And every time you find this kind of anarchic situation or a country, in effect, run by a terrorist group, it gives another safe haven to people who don't have our best interest at heart. And we just saw in New Orleans new information coming out there that the attacker had spent several weeks, perhaps a month, in Egypt in 2023. That didn't come out, as you point out, on the day of the attack. It only comes out now. Well, what was he doing in Egypt, and who did he see there? Did he meet with the Muslim Brotherhood? Did he meet with other terrorist groups? This is pretty important information.
John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor, writing about Syria. There are other matters closer to hand when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.